Radio Prague News. The president's address marking Friday's national holiday has been criticized for being too political. A reception to celebrate the foundation of Czechoslovakia in Havana has been dubbed counter-revolutionary. And the Czech Prime Minister has offered to seek a compromise solution with the Catholic Church over the ownership of St. Vitus's Cathedral. President Václav Klaus has been criticized for being too political in Friday's address marking the 87th anniversary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. In his speech, the president mainly pointed to the importance of the country valuing its independence, but also criticized European integration and EU rules and regulations. This anti-EU sentiment is not shared by the majority of Czechs, according to Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek. Pavel Kováčik of the Communist Party also believes President Klaus, a former leader of the opposition Civic Democrats, took the opportunity to use his address as a pre-election speech ahead of next year's parliamentary elections. The leader of the junior ruling coalition Christian Democrats, Miroslav Kalousek, found the speech balanced, but said he did not share the president's view on the European Union. Civic Democrat Ivan Langer, on the other hand, said the president's speech was brilliant. A reception organized in Havana to celebrate the anniversary of the founding of an independent Czechoslovakia had to be relocated to the residence of the Czech ambassador, the AFP news agency reported. The event, which was initially to be held in a luxurious hotel, was dubbed as counter-revolutionary because it was attended by the wives and close friends of Cuban political prisoners. Hotel management refused to host the event following orders from the Cuban authorities. Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has offered to seek a compromise solution with the Czech Catholic Church to end a 13-year-old legal dispute over ownership of one of Prague's best-known landmarks, St. Vitus's Cathedral. Church and local press reports said Mr. Paroubek held a two-hour meeting late Friday with Cardinal Miloslav Vlk. Mr. Paroubek said the compromise could take the shape of a declaration by the church that the cathedral is owned by the Czech nation, but that the church has a significant role in its management. The Animal Liberation Front says it is responsible for freeing over 1,000 foxes and minks from a fur farm near the eastern town of Svitava. The farm owners say they've lost over 1 million crowns, or a little under $41,000, in the process. While animal rights activists have welcomed what they dub the rescue mission, many fear the foxes will find it hard to survive in the wild. I'm Dita Asiru, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. For the next half an hour, sit back and relax as we bring you all the weird and wacky stories that made the news this week, as well as some that didn't. That's magazine, of course. Brush up your Czech language skills with the ABC of Czech, and of course another chance to hear our interview programme one-on-one. So, without further ado, here's magazine brought to you by Daniela Lazarova.
He is going on 50, his name is Bebík, and he spent the last 30 years at the Czech Foreign Ministry. But unlike most of the diplomats there, he is brutally outspoken and never minces his words. Enter his office and you're likely to hear, "What are you staring at, you cow?" Bebík is a parrot and has been the Foreign Ministry's mascot ever since some high-placed official brought him back from Congo at the start of the 1970s. His presence at the ministry for the past 35 years was a well-kept secret, but an article in the country's most popular tabloid Blesk changed all that. Due to his lack of manners, Bebík is rarely brought out to meet visitors, but his place at the ministry is unchallenged. He has survived 9 ministers in office, and the outlooks are he'll survive many more. His repertoire is broad. He imitates car alarms, modem sounds, telephone melodies, and uses a wide variety of phrases and insults to suit different occasions. Among them are, "Come here, darling," "Shut your trap, you scum," and We're in trouble, mate. The condom burst. On his best behaviour, he boasts a feat that none of the diplomats around him can match. He gives a great rendition of the American anthem. A giant yew tree has won the Tree of the Year competition for 2005. This particular yew tree grows by Bernstein Castle, and like the castle itself, it is said to be 1,000 years old. Legend has it that the fate of the yew tree is linked to that of the castle. If the yew tree dies, the same fate would befall the stone castle. The locals certainly believe it and claim that the tree gave warning of approaching disaster earlier this year. One of its huge branches broke off in the spring, and within a few days of this incident, a part of Bernstein Castle was badly damaged by fire. Whether or not legend had anything to do with it, the old yew was voted Tree of the Year by 6,700 people, beating 12 finalists and an overall 100 trees in the running. The winning tree gets a plaque and all-round care and pampering by professionals. In this case, anything that is good for the tree is also likely to benefit Bernstein Castle. Six lion cubs have been born in less than a week at the Czech circus Humberto, currently on tour in southwest Slovakia. The first batch of triplets were born on October 11th, and the second batch came just a day later. They will join two cubs recently acquired by the circus, which already had two adult lions and a dozen lionesses. With a total of 22 lions and many other exotic animals, the circus is quite an exception in Europe. Right now, the lion cubs are enjoying life, but in 5 to 6 months, they will have to go into training for their future role in the circus. Bohumil Navratil, the son of the owner who trains circus animals, says lions learn through respect, not fear, but their training must start early on. Circus Humberto has toured the Netherlands, Germany, Spain, Romania, and Bulgaria. A recent report by Transparency International suggests that the Czech Republic has a serious problem fighting corruption. At 4.3, its perception corruption index is the third worst in the European Union and has not shown any signs of improvement in recent years. Although Czechs are naturally not very happy about this state of affairs, they're getting a lot of laughs from a notorious bribing scandal involving officials from the Czech Football Federation. The transcripts of a number of private phone conversations between the officials involved became the basis for a theatre performance called Ivan, My Friend, Can You Talk? And has proved such a success with the public that the actors are now touring the country with it. We didn't have to do a great deal of work on this ourselves, one of the actors says. The original dialogues were so dumb, vulgar, and in many ways revealing that all we have to do is reproduce them. Even before we set about it, people were quoting them and cracking jokes. Part of the next James Bond film, Casino Royale, is to be shot here in the Czech Republic. Shooting is scheduled to start in January, and the actors and crew will also be filming in the Bahamas, Italy, and Britain. The Czech capital and its surroundings, as well as the spa town of Karlovy Vary in western Bohemia, will serve as a backdrop for the screen adaptation of Ian Fleming's first novel, with newly selected Daniel Craig in the star role of the legendary British secret agent. Casino Royale should be released worldwide on November 17th of next year. Prague has become a major center for movie production over the last decade. A recent big movie made here was Roman Polanski's Oliver Twist. People in the eastern part of the Czech Republic experienced a small earthquake on Tuesday, a most unusual occurrence in this part of the world. The earthquake measured just 3.4 points on the Richter scale, but the locals said they felt the tremors quite strongly. It was like a train was passing real close by. Even if seismologists had not confirmed that a quake actually happened, some of the locals had evidence of their own. Fine cracks had appeared in some of the walls. An earthquake, even a very small one, is always a hot topic of debate in this part of the world. For the most part, people just compare their impressions and talk about what they were doing when it hit. No building has actually ever been damaged by an earthquake in the Czech Republic. The biggest quakes monitored on Czech territory happened in the 20th century, in 1901 and 1957, and they measured 4.7 and 4.0 on the Richter scale.
That was Magazine with Daniela Lazareva. And tune in for more weird and wacky stories next week. Now it's time for our regular Czech language course, the ABC of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the last episode of the culinary series of the ABC of Czech. Having explored the Czech Christmas table last week, today we'll close the series with a look at the New Year's menu. And for that I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková.
The New Year used to be a more important holiday before it became overshadowed by New Year's Eve festivities. For many Czechs, New Year's Day is just a welcome day off they can use to cure themselves from overindulgence. New Year's Eve is a party day. We've spoken about party food in this series, so on the New Year's Eve table you will find Czech open-faced sandwiches,
chlebíčky,
of various kinds, nuts,
oříšky,
crisps or chips,
brambůrky,
and other snacks. Midnight is traditionally celebrated by drinking champagne,
šampaňské,
or rather some local brand of sparkling wine,
šumivé víno,
also known as
sekt.
Some people still keep the tradition of eating boiled pork at midnight.
Vepřový ovar.
With grated horseradish and apples.
Se strouhaným křenem a jablky.
Those who are awake at lunchtime on New Year's Day should eat lots of lentils.
Čočka.
Because in Czech tradition, lentils symbolize money. And as Czechs say,
jak na nový rok, tak po celý rok.
What goes for New Year's Day goes for the whole year round. Instead of lentils, some families cook broth,
vývar,
with semolina,
s krupicí,
as a symbol of money. We hope you've enjoyed this series and found it useful. The episodes will stay on our website, both in sound and text, and hopefully soon the sound will be there in downloadable format. But now it's time to say for the last time,
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Dobrou chuť indeed. And it's time now to wrap up the program with another chance to hear our regular interview program, One on One. This week in One on One, I'll be speaking to TV producer Zora Tsenkova, who's just returned from Cuba, where she was forced to work undercover after being refused filming permission by the Cuban authorities. The result is Cuba Incognito, a look at ordinary life on Fidel Castro's Island of Freedom. Zora began her journalism career in 1994 as an investigative reporter for the popular commercial TV station TV Nova. I began by asking her what it was like working for the station back in the early days.
It was absolutely exciting job. Listeners wouldn't know it, but Czech television in early 90s was very, very old-fashioned, traditional television, very, very slow cuts, very, very long reports. And when Nova entered the market, it was like a big bang, like a supernova in the Czech media. They brought this new commercial way of commenting things. They brought, for example, a reporter standing in front of the camera, what wasn't usual before.
It's hard to imagine now, isn't it?
It is, actually. And as a freshly graduated person, I entered this job, and it was absolutely biggest experience in my life till now.
You left the field of investigative reporting to concentrate on making documentary films. What makes a good TV documentary, would you say?
Oh, it's a pretty general question. I would say, again, you have to show things. You shouldn't basically describe them. It sounds like an absolutely obvious thing, but it is not.
And in your mind, or in your view, does the documentaries that are on Czech TV now and on Nova, do they show things?
Well, there are no documentary films in TV Nova produced by Nova except one travel project that is very successful and actually was developed in cooperation with Czech television and one very good private studio. So Nova is a little bit out of this business. Czech television has a very difficult duty. It has to show documentary film for the wide scale of viewers. So some people want more sport, some people want more history, some people want more contemporary issues. We have a big need to show our recent history during the communism time because we have a big wide gap in this.
Your work has taken you not only around the Czech Republic but also around the world. Which place that you've been to sticks most in your mind?
Well, it's Cuba, that was my most recent project, but also Egypt. It happened to me that I filmed two documentary films in Egypt. And first of them, it was just about 4 days after September 11th, 2001. So it was pretty exciting because the atmosphere in Cairo was hard for us. We weren't sure how Egyptians would react to white foreigners, and all the tourists were gone. Everybody cancelled his holidays, so we were absolutely alone, standing in front of big Cheops pyramid, for example, what is not possible to make anymore.
So it must have been a wonderful experience.
Yes, it was great. We were filming film about Czech Egyptologists who had been excavating in Egypt for about 40 years. So
you mentioned there your most recent project was in Cuba, and the film is called Cuba Incognito, a documentary film filmed secretly in Cuba. Tell me more about that. Surely that was very difficult indeed.
Well, it wasn't intentional to film there secretly. We were trying hard to get official filming permission from Cuban authorities. I filled many, many papers in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. But finally, about 6-7 hours before our departure from Prague, we got official ban. We were phoned. We were diagnosed as enemies of Cuban peoples.
Why was that?
Well, nobody explained us. Nobody would give you any piece of paper. So it was just via telephone. So I can't prove anything. So we were diagnosed as very dangerous people for Cuba, and we were banned to go. So I discussed the whole situation with the producer, that was Czech television, and my crew, and everybody said, well, we want to go to Cuba, despite we can theoretically end up in the jail. So we changed our equipment. That was originally, it was the big camera. We picked up another one, what was small, these mini DV cameras. We got two cameras and just one single microphone. And we were playing role of tourists who came to Cuba.
So you pretended to be tourists and then filmed secretly?
Yeah, so our official program was cancelled, so we basically got to the airport, we went through the control, and we had absolutely no idea what we would do, because all official meetings were cancelled. So finally, with help of Czech embassy people and with help of another contact that I made during the preparation of the filming, we finally made a trip that was very exciting. It was Havana, Trinidad, Varadero, Playa Larga, what is basically Bay of Pigs, and other great places.
And were you caught?
We were trying to be non-visible. So we were filming really only, the interviews we did only inside the houses, where nobody strange could see us. And on the street we behaved like tourists, so it was okay. But the most striking thing was how to make interviews with ordinary normal Cubans without telling them that we were actually filming crew, filming documentary film. So I must say that it was first time in my life when I had to really lie to the people with who we were filming.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I hope that we didn't put them into any danger, because of course we didn't say real names, and so we said, okay, for example, in Trinidad, what is a fantastic city under UNESCO protection, we wanted to get into the huge fantastic palace from Spanish times. So we addressed one family who lived in such a palace, and we said, okay, well, we are Czechs and we are from our club that is called Club of Friends of Architecture. And we are filming such a short film for our friend from the club. So please, would you allow us to film you here? And would you tell us several sentences about the history of the house? And luckily the people were so kind that they accepted this funny story. So the same way we did interview with a guy who owns this great old American car from 40s as a friends of cars. And also we were friends of music. So we did interview with one great Cuban singer in Havana.
Very clever. Zora, thank you very much indeed.
Well, thank you for inviting me and good luck with your program.
And I was speaking there to Zora Tsenkova, TV producer, who's just returned from Cuba. And don't forget that from next week, One-on-One moves to Monday, so do tune in again then for that programme. We always want to hear what you think of our programmes. Do write us a letter. The address is Radio Prague 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Or if you're online, send us an email, english@radio.cz. I'll just repeat that, english@radio.cz. And of course, do tune in and have a look at our website. The address is www.radio.cz. And there you can read and listen to most, if not all, of our programmes. That's all we have time for today. From me, Rob Cameron, and indeed everyone here at Radio Prague, take care and do tune in again soon.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h37, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.